You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our amazing pastor's wife, Dava Hand, with this week's message.
I just want to say that we have some awesome families around here. We have some awesome kids and teenagers. I was just looking at those pictures and they would come up and I'd think, I love them. And so I just want you to know that I love you, and you know what? God loves you. He loves families, and he loves your family, and he's for your family, and he's for your children. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're really going to be talking more maybe about parenting than children. And so sometimes I feel very unqualified, but then I think, well, I've been around kids a lot, so... And being in ministry for so long and working with youth and teens in different areas. So I may not be an expert, but I want to give you just a little bit of insight of just encourage you today, no matter where you are in your family, no matter if your children are small or teenagers, if they're out of your home, if you're helping with your grandchildren, I just want to give you just some encouragement and let you know that God is for you. God is for families. Back in the Old Testament, when Moses went to Pharaoh, and he said, God, who am I going to tell that when I tell Pharaoh to let your people go, who am I going to say sent me? And God could have said a lot of things. He could have said, well, you tell him that I am the God of all gods. You tell him that I created the universe, that I hung the stars and the moon, and I make the sunshine. You could tell all the mighty acts of God. But you know what God said? He said, tell him that I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's my eternal name. He's a generational God. He's for families. He went back to a family and he said, I am for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that lets me know that he's for me and my children and my grandchildren and to every generation. God is for you. Don't ever feel like you're alone in this or that it's just not going to work out. God loves your children more than you love your children, and he wants them to make it to eternity with him. And a few months ago, if you were here, Rick was preaching, and he put up a quote that I used to tell my children. I used to tell them that I will not spend eternity without you. And so since then, I've had a few people ask me how that came about and how they reacted, and so I'm just going to be real honest this morning and tell you that sometimes when I told them that, it wasn't word for word. Sometimes it sounded more like this. You're going to obey me, you're going to learn to do right, and you're going to go to heaven whether you like it or not. It was the same thing, just a little different. But in my prayer closet, when I would get alone with the Lord, I would cry out to him and I would say, please let me spend eternity, not just with you, but with my family. With my children. Don't let them be lost. I don't want to do eternity without them. And you know, when they were growing up, sometimes I would think, oh no, the enemy's gonna steal them away. But then I would remember, God, you promised me that if we would train a child in the way that they should go, they wouldn't depart from that way. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. Did you know that 10,000 years from now, you will be somewhere. Your soul will be somewhere. Your children's soul will too. And when you focus on that, it makes you a little more determined. Rick mentioned the book, Raising the Strong-Willed Child. That's really where I got that quote of not spending eternity without you, because it brought me back to parenting with determination, because my goal was bigger than just getting through the day. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I did that. I just parented, just get them in the bed tonight. And then sometimes you parent to make them successful. But the main goal, the big goal, the most important goal is that they spend eternity with the Lord. They fall in love with Jesus. There's a scripture in the book of Acts, and it's Paul. He's talking to the Ephesians. He's talking to the leaders of the church there. And I came across this a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought, it's just a good scripture for parenting, how you have to really look at parenting. You have to parent with determination. Paul, he arrives and he calls for the leaders of the church. And he said, it says, when they arrived, he declared. And declare just means make known with determination. He said, I never shrank back from telling you what you need to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message, the necessity of repenting from your sins and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And I declare today with great determination that I have been faithful. And if anyone suffers eternal hell or eternal death, it is not my fault, for I did not shrink back from declaring all that God wants you to know. And I thought, that is a great scripture and a great attitude to have for parenting. I will not shrink back. I will make sure that they know everything they need to know to make it to heaven. I will be diligent every day, even on the hard days. I will be determined and I will not give up, because I want my children to spend eternity with the Lord. Now, I have two children, and most of you know Brent, and I told Brent that I was just going to say a little something. I am, just a little something. And then we have a daughter also. And when Brent was born, I was 23, and I didn't really have a clue about parenting. But Brent, when he came, he had an agenda. And that, I think it was to rule the world, but it definitely was to rule me. He was very strong-willed, and he knows this. He's heard me talk about it all his life. He was very strong-willed, and I was not prepared for that. And Kristen came along, and she was just the opposite. I tell people we didn't even know we had another child for 6 months, because she just was so, she would just sleep and never cry. And as she grew older, she was very obedient. You could just look at her and hard, and she would just start crying and repent and go back and fix whatever she messed up. But not Brent. Brent would plant his feet and he would be determined. And so, you know what? I had to be more determined. And when I read that book, and that's why we're just offering it, you might think, well, this book's going to tell me all about kids, and it will tell you a lot about kids, and it's not going to tell you, you know, to beat your kid or anything like that, or abuse your kid. It is going to tell you to discipline your child, because that's your responsibility. And sometimes discipline has to kind of hurt. You know, punishment has to come, but with consequences. But I will say this, when Brent was about 6 years old, he got a Nintendo, and that was invented just so that I could say, if you keep doing that, I'm putting that Nintendo in the closet. And that worked amazingly. But they were both different. They were both so different. But you know what? I realized they were both a challenge, because they both have an enemy that wants to kill them and destroy them and steal everything he can from them. And it didn't matter their personality. What mattered was the enemy. And I had to stay focused that they have an enemy that does not want them to spend eternity with the Lord. And I had to be very diligent. And you're going to have to be very diligent, especially in the culture we live in today. It's so much harder, I'm sure, than it was when I was raising kids. But they both were very different. But I learned this. I learned that a strong-willed child can become a strong-willed Christian. And I also learned that a compliant child that obeys you can also sometimes be a follower, you know, instead of a leader. Now, Kristen was a good kid and everything, but I did see that, and I had to be even more diligent. The main thing is you just have to keep them on the right path. Keep them going toward the Lord, and do it with determination. And you have to do it 24/7. I'm sorry. It just is that way. There's nowhere you can just take your kids and forget them. So, but it's your responsibility, parents, to teach them, to lead them, to guide them. I know we live in a world where people want to be friends to their children, and that's great to have a good time with your kids. They want to be where, you know, your kids get a say-so or a vote, and sometimes that's acceptable in some cases, but you're the parent. You make decisions every single day that determine things your family does and the things your children are involved in. Would you make righteous decisions, godly decisions, even if they're hard decisions? That's your responsibility. And I just want to tell you that if you'll keep focused on the end goal, it'll be a lot easier. The end goal is I want my children to go to heaven. And they can't go to heaven unless they know the Lord Jesus and obey his word. And they can't obey his word if they don't know the word. And they can't know it if you don't teach them. It's your responsibility to teach your children the word of God. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I thought, well, how does that look? We think that that's bringing them to church, bringing them to youth class and, you know, kids classes. And that's a part of it. But that's not even the majority of it. It's your job to teach your children the word of God and how to live in this world like Christ wants them to. That's your job. And I thought about kids when they were small. It's easy to talk to them about the Lord. I was thinking about Clark, our little grandson. He turned 6 just a few weeks ago. And at Christmas time, somehow he got some videos or some movies that he watches. And they're all Christian. They're all biblical. And he can ask 1,000 questions in 30 minutes. And he would ask me, Nana, why did Jesus have to die? And I would just try to give him the best answer I could. Well, because I guess that's hard for, you know, a 6-year-old to understand. And I would say, because he loves us so much and he wants us to live with him forever. And it wouldn't be but just a few minutes. Nana, why did Jesus have to die? And he would ask it over and over. And I know there was some point I wanted to say, well, he just did, Clark. He just did. So don't answer him anymore. But just those opportunities you have when they're little, just think about the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Can you teach your children to love the Lord? God is so good. He's been so good to our family. He's been so good to us. We just love the Lord. Nothing is more important than the Lord. Nothing is more important than God. I'm not more important. The Lord is so important in our lives. And those are things you teach them when they're small. You teach them not to lie. Truth is very, very important in this household. We need to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth, and you tell me the truth. Teach them not to steal. Don't take pencils at school that don't belong to you. When you get older, don't take cars that don't belong to you. You know, those are basic things that we can teach our kids. But you know what? The best way to teach them and what they really probably look at the most is if you obey those things. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart and nothing is more important to you than the Lord? Are you truthful? Are you happy with what you have? We teach our kids to be happy, not to covet, not to want what the world has and what they don't have and what their neighbor has. Are you happy with the things you have? Kids see those attitudes and they watch you and they pick up on it a whole lot more than you think they do. One thing is, the Bible says to honor your mother and father. And I just want to say this. If your children, if they don't respect you and obey you, chances are they're not going to respect and obey anybody else. They need to learn to honor you and respect you. You're not their friend on a lot of days. And that's hard. And you want your kids to realize that you love them, but you're in charge. And you're the authority, and they have to respect that. God is our Heavenly Father. How do you respond to Him? You're respectful, you're loving, and your children should respond to you like that. You need to teach them to honor you and to respect you. And in this book, Raising the Strong-Willed Child, that was a lot of my problem. I wanted to be just a good, happy parent, and you know what? Kids don't always need that. They need discipline and they need correction and they need to know the laws of God and they need to be instructed and made in your house to obey those laws. And another Ten Commandment is keeping the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. And you know, if you've been around here, you know Rick and I are really big on church attendance. We really believe that going to church can make all the difference in the world. And I tried to think of a time when our kids didn't want to go to church, but I couldn't really think of that because our kids have always been excited about going to church. And I think that's because we've always loved to go to church. I've just been excited to get up and come and be with you guys, and I want them to see that and have that same feeling. But if you don't feel that way, they probably won't feel that way. There is a quote by Carl Truman, and he's a professor at Westminster Theological Seminary, and he said something, and you might have heard this or something similar to this before, but this is so important. He said the church is losing its young people because the parents never taught their kids that church was important. I think that applies across the board. It applies to family worship. It also applies to whether you're in church every Sunday and what priority you demonstrate to your children church has on a Sunday. If the sun is out, do you decide to skip church and go to the beach? In which case, you send signals to your children that church is just not that important. They're watching you. They see how you respond on Sunday morning. You know, I used to want to stay at home on Sunday night and watch The Wonderful World of Disney. And I know most of y'all don't even know what that is because it was ages ago when that came on. But I just wanted to stay at home and watch it. But I didn't get that option. I had to go to church. We went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every revival. My mother had ladies' prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and we always went to that. And you know what? I don't regret that now. I am thankful for that. I am thankful that she instilled in me a love for the house of God and a love for God's people and a love for being with God's people. There is strength in this house, whether you know that or not, whether you have figured it out yet or not. When you get involved and you have fellowship, there is strength in that. And it lets you see that God, he not only is here in his, but he has put people around you to encourage you and strengthen you. And your children need that. Your children need to come to church and see the priority that church has in your life. And I think it's important because, I was trying to think of a time when our kids didn't want to go to church. And I really couldn't think of a time they did. And I thought, they were always excited to go to church. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because our life was just so boring. They just wanted to go anywhere or do anything. But then I thought, you know, I don't remember them ever saying, I want to stay at home and watch this, or I want to stay at home and play Nintendo or whatever. I just remember them being okay with going to church. And you know what I think it was? I think it was because they had friends at church. So I want to talk about friends for just a minute, because friends are so important. So you should choose them wisely. Because as your kid grows, they get to pick out their own friends. They run into people at school and different places that you don't know. And so it's very important from a very early age to teach your children to be friendly, but also to choose friends wisely. And our kids always had a lot of friends at church. And you know, I used to tell Kristen, because she was like very social, and I would say, now look, today we're going to church. Don't ask anybody to come home with you because I don't want a house full of kids. And every day at times it would be like, Mom, they really wanted to come home with us, you know. And we were going back again that night, so it was just a few hours. But they always had good friends at church. And sometimes you have to cultivate that. Sometimes you have to get involved in that. Think about it. If you come on Sunday morning and you get here and just as church is starting and you leave, you know, as soon as it's over, you're probably not going to have much fellowship. If they're not involved in teens on Wednesday night or kids on Wednesday night or Sunday morning either, they're not going to have that opportunity to make friends. And I know that we have Pastor Nick and Miss Becca and their whole team, they work really, really hard at making sure your child feels accepted and has things to do. I think their teens are doing something today. And, you know, your children have to be involved in that. And sometimes you have to say, you're going to have to just make them do it until they make that friend. I know you think, well, I don't want to make them do that. It's okay. You might have to get involved. You might have to go with them to some things and do some things, but that's okay, because your goal is that they will have friends that will encourage their relationship with the Lord and not pull them away from the Lord. Because remember, we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about 10,000, a million years from now. We're not talking about what they're going to do next week. It's so important that their friends are Christians and they can encourage one another. So I just want to tell you that you may be sitting here today and you may say, well, my children don't have any friends here. Well, Rick says something all the time, and I really don't like for him to say it, but he says it anyway. And he says that if this church is not the place for you, if you can't find your place here, then go find the church that you can get involved and you can take your family and you can get your children involved. I hate to see anybody leave, but I also hate for anyone to lose out with God. Do that. But I believe that you're here for a purpose. I believe you didn't just happen to stumble in here. I believe you have a place here, and that your children and your teens and have a place in the house of God, and they have friends and fellowship here. Sometimes you have to cultivate that. You have to do something. You might be sitting here today, and you may look across and say, well, there's a family. They have children the same age as mine. These people have teenagers. You know what? You might have to say, I'm going to invite them over to grill out one night. Just let us get to know them, and our kids maybe hang out together. You might have to do some out-of-the-box things, but remember, we're talking about eternity here, and you want your child to have friends. Proverbs says that that the way of the righteous should choose friends carefully. That means some thought goes into it. You do it carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You don't want them to be led astray. You know, I know we've talked about Kip and Cheryl a lot when they were here for the marriage conference, but it was just really, really good. And they were talking about their oldest. I'm not sure if they said it this marriage conference, but I know when they came a couple of years ago and spoke at a conference we had, I think they told the story then. And they talked about their oldest daughter and what a challenge she was to raise. They talked about that again this year, about how hard it was to, and they even went as far as to say, when she was 7 years old, we didn't like her. When she was 12 years old, we didn't like her. Because they were just talking about how hard she was to raise. You know, and they were joking. But I remember they told this story about how she always gravitated to the wrong people. It was just like she just couldn't help herself. She just always gravitated to the wrong people. And so they finally said, you're not going to have any fellowship with anybody but me and your mom and dad. We're going to be your friends. We're going to, on Friday night, you're not going out with your friends. You're staying at home with us, and we'll pop popcorn and watch a movie. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when your children are grounded, you're grounded. Did you know that? When they can't watch TV, oh, Lord, don't you hate that? And so you have to be very purposeful and very determined, because they were thinking about the end goal. We have to teach her that we are important. Our values are important. Our way of life is the way that God wants you to live. And so for, I think it was like 6 months, she stayed right with them. If they went to eat with somebody else, she went with them. They became her friends. And they told a lot about that this year at the conference. And they said, you know, where she was just this maybe hard, strong-willed child, that now she's everybody's favorite in the family, that God has just done such a work in her life. That they said at Christmas time, everybody was waiting on her to get home because she's married now. And they said when she pulled up, they were like, yes, Kyle is here. Yes, yes, yes. And they all ran out to meet her because God had done such a work in her life. But that didn't just happen. It didn't just by just willy-nilly parenting. It was very purposeful and very determined that you're not going to go to hell. If you suffer hell, it won't be because of me. It would be because I gave it my all, and I did everything I could to make sure that you were going to make it to heaven. And so friends are important. And I wanted to say something this morning to single parents, because I've just been very fortunate that I've had a great, my kids have had a great father. And I know there were some days he came home and I was like, look, I'm done. They're yours. But if you're a single parent, you don't have that privilege. You don't have that option. You're a parent 24/7. And I just want to encourage you. And I thought, as I was preparing this, I thought, how can I encourage them? I really want to tell them how that I just think they're the strongest people and I admire them. And I just really wanted to encourage you, and I couldn't think of any experience I could draw from, except I remembered a story I heard, and I just want to share it with you. It's probably 20 years ago. Rick was speaking at a conference, and I think he was speaking to mainly a men's group or something. I can't remember. But I was with him. It was at this big church, and I didn't know really anybody, and I was just kind of wandering around looking for something to do. And I went in this classroom where that a woman was speaking, and she just was had just one of those spirits about her that just sort of captivated you. And she was talking about her family, and she was such a pretty lady. And she was an elderly lady, and she was an African-American lady, and she was telling about her children and her family, and she was basically just giving her testimony. And she said that her and her husband had 6 children, and one day he came home and he told her that he didn't want to be married to her anymore, and he didn't want to be her husband, and he didn't want to be a father anymore. And she said he packed everything that he could that day and he left. And she said, there I was with 6 children all by myself. So she said, I don't remember all the details, but it was like she called her brother who lived in another town, and he came, and she was able to move to that town. And she said she eventually got a 1-bedroom apartment, and she was putting her kids to bed that night. And she said, we didn't have a bed. I just laid them out on a pallet on the floor, and I was laying them down and getting them ready for bed. And she said, my oldest daughter, she just started to cry. And she said, Mom, we have a broken home. And she said that the Holy Spirit just came up in her. And she said, I looked at her and I said, we do not have a broken home. Because the Word of God says that He is a father to the fatherless. And He's a husband to those that don't have a husband. And from now on, He's going to be your father. And He's going to be my husband. And we're going to refer to His Word. And He's going to be in this house with us. And we're going to talk to Him just like we would talk to, a physical father that's here in this house. But I want to tell you the best part of her testimony was when she ended it. She told about all of her children, all 6 of them, how what they were doing in life. And they were all professionals. They had all done great things. And just like you would think, well, how did that happen? It's because she stood on the Word of God. And she led them in the Word of God. And the way she ended it was she said, and my children, of all their accomplishments, and they were all professional people doing, big things. She said, but of all my accomplishments, I can tell you that they love the Lord Jesus with all their heart and they serve Him every day. And that is an awesome testimony. And if He would do it for, her name was Rose. And if you, I don't know how I remember that, but I do. But her name was Rose. And if He will do it for Rose, He will do it for you. He'll be in your household when you get up every morning. And He'll help you put your kids to bed. And when you don't have direction, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your mind. Trust the Lord in all your ways. He's for families. God is for families. And He's for your children. And then I want to say just a little something about those that are kind of like me and Rick. Our kids are out of our house now. They don't do what I say anymore. And I don't always like that. But they don't have to anymore. And you may say, well, I've raised my children, and I tried to raise them in the Word of God, and it just seems like they walked away from it. And I don't ever see them, I don't see a way for them to turn around. Or you might say, I didn't know to raise them like that. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know when they were a Christian, when they were a child, that they needed to know about the Lord. And so you might be thinking that you're hopeless. Because when you look at your situation and you try to imagine that your child is going to turn their life around somehow, and you might be thinking, I just don't see that. But I'm going to have a little water, excuse me. About 2 years ago, I felt like the Lord gave me a story in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Samuel. And it was just when some things were happening. And have you ever read something in the Word and it just kind of just jumped out at you? And you could say, that's my scripture. That's for me. I just felt like when I read that, the Lord said, Dave, you can hang on to this because it's yours. And so I just want to share this with you this morning. If that's where you are, if your children have walked away from God and you don't see any way back, I just want to share this story. It's in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. And it talks about David, King David, and he had taken his men to fight a battle. And when they came home, they realized that the Amalekites had, while they were in war, while they were doing battle, the Amalekites had come and invaded their land and taken everything, taken their wives, their children, their possessions, and anything that was left, they burned it to the ground. And that really spoke to me. Have you ever been in a place where you felt like everything that you worked for, everything that you cultivated, everything, every seed you planted, the enemy just came in and he just burned it to the ground? And so it says that they were just so overwhelmed in despair that they laid on their face and they cried. We're talking about grown men, warriors. All they knew to do was lay on their face and cry. It was so devastating to them that they had lost everything. Everything had been burned to the ground. But then it said, David sought the Lord. And the Lord said, go get them. Go find them. And David, I don't know where they are. I don't even know where to look. Go. Just go get your kids. And so David, and he had 600 men. 200 of them were so wounded and tired from battle that they had been in that only 400 could go. And the Amalekites were a huge army, but they were going after their family and their possessions. And along the way, in a field, they find this Egyptian man, and he's wounded, he's sick. And David and the army stop and minister to this Egyptian. And I thought, I don't know that I would have done that. I think I would have said, God bless him, I got to go get my kids. I got to go get my family. I got to go get the things that belong to me. But they stopped and they ministered to this guy. They fed him. They cleaned his wounds. They gave him some water to drink. And in the process, they began to talk to him and find out about who he was. And he said, well, I was with the Amalekites, and they burned this city down. And he said, but I was so exhausted and so fatigued and so battle-worn, they left me behind because I couldn't keep up. And he said, well, do you know where the Amalekites are? That was just the person he was looking for. And he didn't even know it, but he stopped to help. And he said, and he told them where the Amalekites were camping. And when they got there, the Amalekites were just having a big old party. They were just out in the field, just having a big time with all the things that they had taken from David and his army. And so David's 400 men were able to surprise them and attack them. And this is what it says in verse 17 of chapter 30. It says, David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout that night and the entire next day until the evening. That's hard work, slaughtering an army when there's only 400 of you. And so I'm just going to tell you this up front. It might not be easy, and it might not be quick, because he did it for 24 hours. They slaughtered them. But listen to verse 18. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. Just say that. Everything. Everything. Nothing was left. And he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, great or small, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought back everything. Don't tell me that God is not for your family. You couldn't tell David that. David would stand up here and say, go get them. You seek the Lord. Ask God for his wisdom and his help. And that's important, because everything that comes in my mind doesn't need to come out my mouth, especially when I'm trying to bring my kids back to the right way. Seek God. Ask for his wisdom and direction. And you know what? He's got an Egyptian in the field somewhere. He's got somebody somewhere or something that he can use, some tool to turn your child around. You may feel like the devil's burned it to the ground, but let me tell you, God is so faithful and his word is truth. And if you will seek God, and then let me encourage you, don't stop doing what you're doing for the Lord. Don't get so focused on yourself. That's easy to do when it's your family. Don't get so focused on yourself that you forget what God's called you to do. You see, I have found that when you minister to God, he'll turn it right around and he'll do something awesome for you. It's like a cycle. You can't outgive God. You can't outwork God. You can't outdo God. His miracles are too mighty and too big and too vast. So don't keep doing what you're doing. And I have found this, that if I will, when I'm going through something, a trial, if I will minister to someone that is going through that also, or maybe it just in that area, just something, then God will, he will just take hold and do what I can't do in my life. And I said it in the first service, so if you're going through something with your child, you might want to see Nick after church. He needs youth workers. Becca needs, we always need kids. I'm just saying, do something for somebody else. Don't just say focus on yourself. Minister, give, do, help and others, and God will turn around and bless you. Because he knows where your children are. He knows what it's going to take to bring them back. Even if it looks hopeless and if it looks like that it's burned to the ground. The Bible says that David, he recouped everything. Nothing was left behind. He recouped everything. It says, that brings me back to God's for you. Because he's a God of families. He's a God all about families. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's God for my children, my grandchildren. And you know what? He loves families, and he loves you. He loves your family so much that he sent his son so that we could be adopted into his family. God loves big families. He's for you. He's for your children. And his goal is the same. He wants to see your children in heaven with you.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at Church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.